You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station, and in the background, my man, Kenny Barron. From his release, Kenny Barron and the Brazilian Knights. Upcoming is a very important lady. We're celebrating Women's Music Month, and Jana Lasort, founder and creative director of Ambassadora, Cultivating Strategies and Communities. And she's a creative strategist, and she's had about 25 years of experience in the arts, and I'm more than glad to welcome her in terms of all the great things that she has done over the years in terms of the arts and the legacies that she's left, not only in New York, but also internationally. How are you doing, Jana?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for that great introduction, Jay. I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. And I have to say, before I forget, Kenny Barron, so great that you just played him and I'm coming next, because Kenny is actually the guest of honor at Jazz Power Initiative Gala that I'm working on. So that's a nice segue. Jay, you're
really?
So good. You did it without even knowing.
Without even knowing. Well, I mean, you know, it's called intuition. I'm a Kenny Barron fan. I'm a Kenny Barron fan.
Well, who isn't? Who isn't?
This guy is. But, you know, you've done so much. After reading your bio and the information that you sent me, you know, I didn't know where to start, because you've been so effective in the arts. You've left an indelible, but you have an indelible footprint internationally as well, because Friday was International Women's Day. So,
thank you so much for honoring us. It sure was, and this is Women's Month, so I really love your programming bent. Thank you so much. And jazz, in particular, is my special love. I was a saxophonist. I was a jazz radio DJ in college, kind of like what you're doing right now. And I just, you know, I loved going through the stacks and discovering all this music that I didn't know much about, and really learning more about the people behind it and how their lives and all the challenges of being those people at that time in America factored into the music that they made and created, and how they breathed it to life. So jazz for me has always been the critical story in my life, and a connection to myself and to building community, and really to, I think, what this country is about in terms of the individual voice working within the collective voice. So jazz has really been my focus, but then I expanded to other art forms as well.
Well, you cultivate strategies and communities. You bring a lot to the table in terms of understanding the arts industry and mm-hmm. how to educate people to the arts, especially mm-hmm. this original art form we call jazz. The thing I'm really interested about you is how effective you've been on not only having hands-on, but on the boards where you make decisions.
Well, thank you. Yes. You know, I'm a strong believer that everybody has decision-making power. And so my focus has been, whether it's my volunteer work in jazz and the arts, as a cultural facilitator, as a community organizer and cultural organizer, building, you know, different communities, including the jazz community up here in Uptown Manhattan in New York City, where I am right now, or whether it's decision-making power on the other side, which is the board and the traditional power bases of organizations. When I was on the opening team for Jazz at Lincoln Center to open that amazing worldwide facility, it was really striking to think about what we were all building together, and to really notice ideas that came from all parts of the team and the openness to those ideas. And that's what I like to foster when I'm working with clients, when I'm working as part of boards, when I'm working in my volunteer capacity, is really activating the individual voices, because that's, whether it's jazz, dance that I've worked in, festivals that I've produced and been part of, whatever the platform is, the arts platform, it's critical to me that we are engaging everybody and giving opportunities for everybody to have a part in that.
Well, you're really a social revolutionary when it comes to the arts. The expectations that people usually have sometimes can be low about the arts, and you bring it to another level. Case in point, Urban Bushwomen.
Well, Urban Bushwomen, it's interesting because you make me think about Ask the Experts, which I created, and then Urban Bushwomen, which I was fortunate enough to be executive director of. Ask the Experts I created 15 years ago, and it runs annually as part of our annual jazz conference, and that's why I was so lucky to meet you, Jay, and have our great conversation. Ask the Experts I created to really connect the decision makers at the top in jazz, record labels, agents, bookers, festival producers, with the emerging and mid-level musicians who didn't have a chance to get that one-on-one time to learn things, to ask questions, to understand how they could better position themselves for opportunities and work more collaboratively. And a number of amazing things came about through Ask the Experts, from record label deals like for SOMI when I worked with her, to collaborations, new bands, sub-gigs, new producing partnerships. It really was astonishing to see what came out of just connecting people. And with Urban Bushwomen, Jawale Zoller, who you may know her jazz brother, James Zoller.
James Zoller, right.
Player, that's right. His sister, Jawale Zoller, created the amazing legacy of Urban Bushwomen, which is a modern dance company and social justice organization, 35 years strong now, going on all over the world. And I was fortunate to be a part of that for 4 years, learning. Really, Jawale, I call her Urban Bushwomen my second grad school, because I learned so much about cultural organizing and connective tissue that we all bring to play in our communities, whether those are our arts professional communities or our living neighborhood communities. And Jawale was very much inspired by jazz and how she looks at the structuring things, and, you know, including her dance works. And you may know this, Jay. I didn't when I came into Urban Bushwomen, but even the name was inspired by a jazz album, Urban Bushmen.
Urban Bushmen,
by AACM.
Right, AACM mm-hmm. right, out of Chicago.
That's right.
Right. I'm very familiar with them. In fact, I used to follow Lester Bowie and all of them back in the day because they caught my attention, definitely, because they didn't follow necessarily the standard, what we call jazz. They sometimes they went straight out of melody and harmony and created their own work spontaneously, which is a part of improvisation.
Improvisation, exactly. And Jawale really took that model in terms of how she was looking at creating dance works and also bringing in different jazz artists. I was really fortunate when I was there to call my friend Somi, my former client, and say, hey, Som, come on and talk to us at Urban Bushwomen. We want to look at involving you in one of our works. And sure enough, she came on board, Payeng Threadgill, you know, the great vocalist and composer, daughter of Henry Threadgill.
Oh, very well, yes, I have one of her releases,
right.
Yes.
Yep, she was brought in. So it's really the approach, I think, that I'm drawn to in people and in work and in building, which is this idea that, again, it's the individual voice and how we allow space for that to build collective power, to build collective benefit.
What do you have on the table now? Because you're with Ambassadora. You do collective strategies and cultivating strategies and communities. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're the person that builds the bridge.
Yes. Oh, what a great way to put it. Absolutely. And that's actually my logo, is the idea of a bridge and a pathway forward. So, yes, I since leaving Urban Bushwomen in 2013, I launched Ambassadora, and I basically help arts organizations and social impact organizations grow. So that could mean that I'm working, let's say, with the Jazz Institute of Records, which I worked with to produce the Ella Fitzgerald tribute celebration of 50 years. So, or I'm working with Jazz Power Initiative right now on celebrating its 15 years of accomplishment and really looking at how we can structure programs even a little more strongly to get across the impact that we're having at JPI. I work with Horns to Havana, which has been a pure pleasure in my life, co-founded by Susan Stillens and run by her. I'm her partner in terms of thinking and processing and bringing in partnerships like Preservation Hall Foundation, Trombone Shorty Foundation is going to be a new partner of ours with the Prima Foundation, and looking at how we can use jazz and the training of jazz, the theory, and the spirit of jazz to build bridges for Cuban music students. I don't know if you know this or your listeners know, it was eye-opening for me in Cuba because they really only have classical music. That's the only education base that they have. So when Susan started Horns to Havana, along with a few others, including Eric Wright of Jazz at Lincoln Center, the focus was, how can we, as jazz professionals, bring instruments to the island? Because that was the first most pressing need. Because on an island, Caribbean island, as you may know, there in Hot Atlanta, the weather wreaks havoc, you know, particularly the humidity wreaks havoc with wood instruments and brass, too. So these students were working with really run-down instruments, but great, great innovation and inventiveness in how they were patching them up with rubber bands, gum, you name it, bicycle parts. So the first step with Horn Savannah was to just address the instrument need, and Prima Foundation and Trombone Shorty Foundation has been great there in helping us source instruments, along with Preservation Hall Foundation. And then the next need was jazz curriculum, because we looked at it and we're like, whoa, wait a minute, they're only getting classical in their structured program. So we, working with our partners, the ones I've mentioned, along with Jazz and Lincoln Center, Stanford Jazz Workshop, look, Victor Goines, Yosvani Terry, incredible musicians, looking at how can we help craft a real comprehensive jazz curriculum and get those, you know, really embedded in the schools and in the training. And it's been phenomenal to see what's happened, Jay. Just this year, we had our first student be accepted from Havana, Cuba, and she's actually from a much smaller town, about 17 hours away from Havana. Dariana was accepted into University of Michigan's graduate jazz studies program. That's life-changing.
Very life-changing. You know, I've always had a great admiration for Cuba and the history of their music and some of the great artists that have come out of Cuba, not realizing that the humidity wreaked havoc on instruments.
Yep.
And not only that, I realized that a lot of them had been trained classically that live here, you know, especially young ones. Pedrito Martinez is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very familiar with him, and
that's
a host
right.
of others, you know, that live here, Chucho Valdez. But the thing about it is, what I like about you is, once again, you're building a bridge to go into the community, especially a country like Cuba, and to help raise the consciousness musically and culturally so it can be brought back over to America and they can go back to their country or at least represent Cuba.
Yeah, you know, I love that you say that too, because you're so right that it's really about options, and it's really about building bridges to anywhere you want to go. It doesn't have to be where we think you might go. We're, you know, what I try to do with my clients and with all the partnerships that I form is look at how are we building access to information. When I was a community political organizer for the presidential campaign in North Carolina, looking at how can I just make sure that people know how they can register to vote? You know, whoever they vote for, that's their choice. That's the bridge they want to walk, and that's their right. But how can I make sure that people understand if you committed a felony, you have your right to vote back, and here's how you can do it. You know, if you aren't registered or if you need to update it, here's how you can do it. So whether it's arts or politics, which are my two fields that I've worked mostly in, really looking at how can we build more access to possibilities and to information that make those possibilities happen and build those bridges to futures.
For you, ladies and gentlemen, who just tuned in, we're speaking to Jana Lasort, founding creator, director of Ambassadora, and social reformer that connects the bridges and the dots to help people. You know,
I'm going to take you on the road with me, Jay. I like that.
I mean, but, you know, after reading your bio and understanding how you connect the dots and the impact that you've had, sometimes being behind the scenes, you can be much more of an impact than coming out front, and you do the footwork. A lot of people don't want the footwork. They don't want to get in and get their hands dirty.
Oh, goodness. Well, let me say, I do want to get on a soapbox here for a moment, because as a woman, and again, I appreciate your focus on us women in jazz in the month of March, and not just performers, the people out front, but those women like me who have been out here, you know, building organizations and building institutions and part of the fabric of everything they do moving forward, and all the artists I've had the privilege of working with and helping to build their careers and move them forward. So I will say it has been a joy for me, and that's really what's powered my work. But sometimes there is some aggravation being a woman in this business, because you do get overlooked or you get ignored. And in the case of Ask the Experts, for instance, you know, the platform I created that has proven so helpful and every year at when I started, it was IAJE, and then it went to Jazz Connect, and now it's at Jazz Congress.
Jazz Congress. I followed it. Yes, yes.
The truth is, Jay, that the Jazz Congress just acquired it from without really asking. And that's what happens to us women all the time, is that our intellectual property, our creations are just acquired, and things are done to us rather than with us. And that's what the whole hashtag MeToo movement's about, not to get into that, but it's really about, hey, we're humans, and we've got great ideas, and we're doing great things, and please work with us and don't do things to us.
You know, I really appreciate you taking the time out in your busy schedule, and also you sit on the board at Serenby here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Atlanta. That's right. Right. Locally.
Tell us about that.
Sure, sir. Yes. And here's a call out to anybody listening, musicians. In particular, that I am on the board of Air Serenby, which is the artist residency program of Serenby right there in Chattahoochee Hills, about 40 minutes from Atlanta. And every year, I and the other board members, we nominate musicians and other artists, actually, visual artists, the performers, writers, theater folks. But I particularly do my best to focus on jazz artists, who I don't think get a lot of opportunities like this, and I nominate artists who I think are really ripe and ready for a one-week, two-week residency where they can go to Serenby, which is a beautiful place, as you probably know, and just like hibernate in one of the great cabins and work at their own pace, craft some music, try it out. There are no obligations. It's a really special opportunity to just be in a creative space where you don't have to worry about your regular life. You just get to check out, have some peace, walk through the town or do what most folks love to do, which is get on the golf cart and ride around, or just hang out on your front porch in the cabin and, with your keyboard, your guitar, your horn, whatever it might be, your drums, and figure out what you want to do musically.
I really appreciate you explaining that to the WCLK audience in Atlanta, because a lot of musicians are not cognizant of that type of opportunity to be a resident. Mm-hmm. And, and most of all is that your ability to connect the dots makes a major difference. Now, the next time you're in Atlanta, I have high expectations that you will grace the stage of WCLK at Jazz Tones and be live and in living color.
Well, I got to shout out my local crowd on another level, too, as I told you before we got on air. My folks lived in the Atlanta suburbs for 11 years, so I've been coming to Atlanta pretty much annually. One of my best friends is there in the Doc Studies program at Spelman, and I also work with a Georgia Atlanta area-based organization as an advisory board member, Chat Hills Music, which presents, you probably are familiar, Terry on Gully, Mark Terry. Slew of great artists.
Right.
So it would be a pleasure. I would welcome that very much.
I just want to thank you, though. You know how hard it is to catch you. I had to send out a beam of light into the universe to find you.
Well, thanks for sticking to me. And, and thanks so much for this focus that you're giving women in jazz this month.
Oh, this month, definitely.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, remember now, we did Stephanie Bland last week.
Yes.
Daughter
of a great jazz composer and filmmaker, Ed Bland.
The Cry of Jazz, right. I've had a number of people call me about The Cry of Jazz. They hadn't heard of the film and they saw it, so makes it
phenomenal,
different.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to think about all the jazz stories and legacies that are out there that we are still learning more about, it's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. But once again, Jana Lasort, founding creative director of Ambassadora, and it's at ambassadora.com if you want to know more about her and you want to get her to help you build a bridge, because she's really good at it, nationally and internationally, the global phenomena and social reformer.
Well, I'll say real quick that you're right. I have worked with record labels internationally, festivals and others. And to anybody out there who's listening, musician, and you want to contact me, you can do so through ambassadora.com on the contact page. So feel free to send me a note if you're interested in Serenby or have questions.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Hold on for 1 minute. Once again, we want to thank Jana Lasort. and for her time, and also for all the great information that she gives us right here at Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station.